Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verse 11 down to verse 15 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you can follow right along with me. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again, it's a blessing, Lord, to be in church today. We thank you for making a way for each one that's here to be here. Pray for those that had a desire to be here but could not make it to church today. I pray, God, in somehow, some way that you just meet with them and give them a comfort and a blessing today as well. But for those that are here, God, we thank you for your presence in this place and for what we've already received. But now as we get into this worship service and the message that you have for us through this passage of Scripture, pray that you would just help each and every one of us to see what you would have us to see. Receive that which would strengthen us and draw us closer to you. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look here to the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, it's what his letter reveals. It's to the saints which are at Ephesus. In chapter 1 and verse 1, the introduction there. So he is writing to the believers that are at the church at Ephesus. Now we know that God has preserved us, and it was for all New Testament churches and Christians today. He writes about the church being the mystery of the Old Testament in chapter 3. If you'd study chapter 3, actually in verse 9 and 10, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, and who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." And so in chapter 3, he is revealing the church, the New Testament church, as being that mystery of the Old Testament, but yet it was planned from the foundation of the world. And then in chapter 4, he writes of the spiritual gifts and the positions in the church for the purpose of what he says in verse 12, the perfecting of the saints. Now all of that, now there's other reasons and other purposes, but the main purpose we find here he gives in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Can I tell you that as we study the scriptures and we know the mind of God, we know that it's God's will for every believer to mature in Christ. Yeah. That perfecting is full development, growth into maturity of Christ-likeness. Full development, not having our growth stunted, not falling short of the maturity that God would have us to reach. Full development, growth into maturity of Christ-likeness. God, as we study the Word of God, especially the New Testament, and all those that have the mind of God know that there are great blessings associated with spiritual maturity. Great blessings. God loves us, and that's why he would have us to grow to maturity. That's why he would have us to come to full development of our hearts and our minds. Let me give you this statement, and I think that if you write this down, it would do us all well to remind ourselves of this, but we do not face anything in life that could not be made better by a greater knowledge of God's counsel. Now take that to heart. You don't face anything in life that could not and would not be made better by a greater knowledge of God's counsel. That's why we find that Paul writes and he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. God knew that if we would just grow into spiritual maturity, that we would be able to handle whatever comes our way. Whatever trials, no matter what we would have to face, if we were mature in Christ, we would be equipped to handle whatever would come our way. Personal problems that you might face, spiritual growth. If you would concentrate on growing and understanding the counsel of God's Word, can I tell you that whatever kind of personal problems that we might be facing today, it would be helped by a greater knowledge and understanding of God's counsel. Relationship problems, no matter what kind of relationship problem that you might be experiencing this morning, it would be helped by a greater knowledge of the will of God. Financial problems. Even financial problems, if you had a greater knowledge of the will of God, it would help you in dealing with whatever kind of problems that we would have to face. If we would grow to full development, growth into maturity of Christ-likeness. Brother Aaron Connor, our youth pastor. Brother Aaron, would you stand for a minute? How old are you, Brother Aaron?
30.
30. And proud of it, amen? How tall are you?
6'6".
6'6", 30 years old. I think that as far as his bone structure, he has grown to full development. He's got a son named Brady. How many of you have seen Brady around the church? Yeah, that's Aaron. How old's Brady? That's Aaron 25 years ago. If Brady was in here, I'd have Brady stand next to Aaron. As you see Brady standing next to his father, that's what he's going to mature into. In time, he will grow into full maturity, which would be possibly even taller. Who knows? If you had Brady and Aaron there and you were facing problems, who do you think would better help you in facing those problems? All right, come on now. Seriously. If you need the help on shoveling out your car and having somebody help you to push it out of the way, do you think Brady would be a better choice than Brother Aaron? No. We could go on and on, but I think you get the picture here. That's where he would be in 25 years. In 25 years, can I tell you, he will be better prepared to handle whatever comes his way in this life. Thank you, Brother Aaron. You can be seated. Now put that in a spiritual sense. It's the very same thing. That's what the Bible is telling us here. If you remain just a child in your spiritual life, if you remain just in that infancy stage of Christianity, you're not going to be able to handle the problems that you're going to have to face in life. But if you come to full development, if you come to the place where God wants you to be and you understand the maturity in Christ-likeness, whenever something faces you, whatever you have to face in life, if you have come to that place, you're going to be more equipped and better able to handle whatever it is that you might face. And God loves you to the place that He wants every one of His children to come to full development. That's why the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, so that you and I might be able to reach that full maturity. It's God's will for us. There's three keys to spiritual growth that I want to present to you this morning. Three keys to spiritual growth to that perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of all those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And the first would be just that. You have to have spiritual life. Before Brady could grow into full maturity, before Brady would be able to grow and to reach that 30-year age mark, he had to be born. He had to have physical life. Without physical life, he could not mature into 30 years of physical life. And likewise, if we are going to grow in our spiritual life, if we're going to reach that spiritual maturity, then it begins with spiritual life. You have to have life. Ephesians in chapter 2, if you look back there with me in verse 1, Paul writes, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Without Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have any kind of spiritual life. Concerning God and concerning the things that are spiritual, you are dead, and you are dead in your trespasses and sins. But if you look down in verse 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Amen. Before you can grow in spiritual life, you have to have spiritual life. You have to come to that place where you've acknowledged the fact that you are dead and in need of a Savior. And come to that place where you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He paid your sin debt. And look to Him and believe in Him and then receive the gift of everlasting life. See, Paul writes to the saints. In verse 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints." That's the believer. That's the born-again believer. That's those who are saved. Before you can start perfecting that or reaching that full maturity, you have to have life. Spiritual life demands change. It's hard to believe that Aaron used to be the size of Brady. Possibly looked just like him as well. If you get out Aaron's baby pictures, I'm sure you would see Brady 25 years ago. And then he started changing. Amen. He started changing. If you look at his teenage pictures, I'm sure they look at Aaron's teenage pictures, they're going to say, "That's Brady in just 8 years. 13. He looks at what he looked like when he got married, however many years that was ago. I think they just experienced an anniversary, right? Right? And surprised your wife for the anniversary, or is that birthday? Oh, that's right. It's her 30th. All right. Well, we won't go there. I don't think she was happy about that. But anyway... You see that? What is that? In order for Brady to reach full maturity in his physical life, it demands change. And the very same thing in our spiritual life. If we are going to mature in our spiritual life, it demands change. And what a blessing it is when you see people coming into the church and they get saved. And as they get saved, you really don't have to tell them the changes that have to come in their life, or that will come into their life. As they get saved, they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as they yield to the Holy Spirit, they start realizing that I have a desire to identify with Christ. I have a desire to turn away from the things I used to be involved in, and I'm going to change my life, and I'm going to change what I listen to, and I'm going to change what I end up allowing to influence me, and I'm going to start coming to church on Sunday, which is a change, and I'm going to start turning away from certain things, and that's a change in my life, and I'm going to start focusing on the things of God's will for my life. It's a change. Spiritual growth demands change. And that's what God's will is for our life. He's given a lot for that to happen. He's provided many helps and positions in the church for that to take place. If there's no spiritual growth, it could mean that there's no spiritual life. If you're not closer to God today than you were last year, you can't see any changes. There's no change. Could be that there's no spiritual life. If a person continues in the very same lifestyle, in the very same mentality, and everything the same, and there's never a change, listen to me. Now, it could be that there's no spiritual life. Now, I'm not looking to judge, and we should not judge others, because you never know how God has worked, and maybe they're suppressing the Holy Spirit, and maybe they're blocking it out. You can be saved. The Holy Spirit of God will not force, but He will convict. And we taught on that in our Sunday morning Sunday school this morning. The evidence of His presence is there. And He will lead us to be more Christ-like. We can suppress that. But if we suppress that, we are the most miserable people on the planet Earth. But as we yield to that, He will yield to, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He will develop Christ-likeness in us. That's what one of His purposes in us is to do. And if you're not changing, if you're not drawing closer to God, if you're not becoming more and more Christ-like, it could be that there's no spiritual life. You can't grow spiritually without, first of all, having spiritual life. Most important key to spiritual growth is spiritual life. The second thing is what the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers were to do. They would present food. The Bible tells us to feed the flock of God, which are among us, the pastors. Because in order for the flock to grow, in order for believers to grow, they must have food. It took tons of food to get Aaron to 6'6". I was going to try to figure that out. How many tons of food that we consume every year? And of course, it's different for each one. But for somebody the size of Aaron, I guarantee you, he required a lot of food. And if you talk to Becky, he still requires a lot of food, I'm sure. Yeah. Food. Required to have physical growth. It is spiritual food is required for spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says this: as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It starts out with just the milk of the word, and as you start growing, then you get into more of the meat of the scriptures. It's the word of God that will nourish and allow us to grow. Without the word of God, you're not going to grow. Psalms in chapter 119, verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's the word of God that will keep us from sinning against God. And can I tell you what will stunt your growth, your spiritual growth? Sin. If I turn away from the world and I look to God and I start feeding upon the Word of God, can I tell you that will help me to start growing spiritually? And as I hide God's Word in my heart, then I can turn away from that which will stunt my spiritual growth. I remember as a child, my parents said, if you're going to grow up, you're going to have to eat. If you want to grow, you're going to have to eat your vegetables. If you want to grow and be healthy, you're going to have to do this and have to do that. If you're going to come to full maturity in your spiritual life, if you find the will of God, and it's God's will for all of us to grow to perfection, full development in Christlikeness, you've got to have the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. I love this promise that we have. Jesus knew what it was going to take to have spiritual growth, to grow into perfection or that full development. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, he says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Amen. That means that He's provided for us that by which we'll need, provided for us the food. You can put the food on the table. Amen. It might be another thing to get your children to eat the food. I know around our house and the kids growing up, they always, you have to at least taste it. Come on, you'll like it if you'll just taste it. I don't want to taste it. I don't like it. You have to at least take a bite. Well, sad thing is, once they got to that place, even if they like it, they're not going to eat it. Amen. They've already made up in their mind that He's forced me to do it, and so I'll have to taste it. I'm going to spit it out or whatever. I'm not going to like it. They won't like it until they get older. Amen. And then they realize what they were missing out in eating that spinach and all the good things. It's amazing how our taste buds change through the years. You put it on the table, but you have to choose to feed upon it. I don't know what we're doing feeding upon the Word of God. He's made it available to us. Yes. And He's called. He's given us all those positions that we read about in order for us to grow. We won't force it. We have to choose it. You have to choose to feed upon the words of God. So we have the spiritual life. We have the food that God has provided for us. And the last thing that we must have in order to have spiritual growth is communication with God. Spiritual life starts there. Having the Word of God. But then I must communicate with Him. Physical growth is automatic. Spiritual growth is not. Spiritual growth requires communication with God. What is a communication with God? First of all, it's acknowledging our need for prayer. Talking with God. In Luke in chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." One of the things that we'll do at the church is we'll try to encourage people to pray. One of the things we do as a church on Wednesday nights, we have our Bible study and prayer time, so that we can come together as a church family and not only study the Bible and have the food, but also learn to pray one for another. We put out our prayer sheets, and if you're not able to be here on Wednesday nights, the prayer sheets are available for anyone, and we ask you to pick them up, and we ask you to go over and pray one for another. It's a commandment of God. And as you start learning the power of prayer, and you start understanding that we need to let our requests be made known unto God, and we are to pray without ceasing, always being aware of the presence of God, always being aware of the presence of God, and always praying for our needs and praying for others. Can I tell you, that will help you like nothing else can help you.
Amen.
It'll help you to be aware of God every day. It'll help us to understand the need for our God and to understand the power of our God and what God can do through this tool that He's given to us of prayer.
Amen.
And when you're aware of that, just being aware of God, it'll do something with your thinking. You know, before we will give ourselves to sin, we will block God out. We talked about this morning in the Holy Spirit of God's purpose in our hearts and our lives. God has given to us and sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives, if you're saved, if you have spiritual life, He will convict you of sin. And if you have this spiritual life and if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, before you actually commit a sin, you will come under the conviction of that sin and you will make a choice whether to turn away from that sin and yield to the Spirit of God or block out the Spirit of God and go ahead and do what you want to do and fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But if you're aware of the Holy Spirit of God and understanding that He's there as a comforter and you're praying to God, it'll help us. It'll help us. When I deal with situations every day and facing things, I'm so thankful that I have the awareness of God.
Yeah.
I can pray. Lord, help me to respond in a right way in this situation. God, help me to know Your will in this situation, whatever it might be. Prayer. Acknowledging our need for prayer. Talking to God. Communicating with God. And then lastly this morning, acknowledging our need for God to speak to us. Back in our text, I want you to go back there. Ephesians. And He gave some apostles. The apostles were to represent Jesus Christ during that apostolic age. Critical time for the church, the Christians, to know the truths concerning Christ, to know the truths concerning the will of God. He gave some prophets. New Testament church age prophets are those who will prophesy what thus saith the Lord from the Scriptures, not something that is not written down. We have the completion of the Word of God, but they are to preach the truths of the Bible. Some evangelists, and some pastors, shepherds, and teachers. Acknowledging our need for God to speak to us. He's given all these positions for the perfecting of the saints. This idea of seeing our need for God to speak to us brings it a full circle here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. If you're not underneath the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, if you're not in the church that God would have you to be in, if you're not attending the services and being fed the things of God, you're not going to be able to stand up to the things that He tells us to. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Not going to have confidence to know what you know. By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Being in a sound biblical church will help us to know the truth and turn away from false teachings that will hinder our spiritual growth. Praise the Lord for your desire to come out and be in church today. About a month or so ago, we wasn't able to have any service on Sunday. And what an empty feeling it was the rest of the week. When you're used to that, you understand that what the church is all about, it's a place where the Lord's going to meet with us. He promises to be here in the midst with us. And we know He's going to speak to us through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And it's something that just fills my soul. Yeah. It's something that helps me. There's no way that you're going to continue to grow as God would have you to grow if you're not involved in church. That's why God's established His church. It's one of the reasons He has told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because He knows if we are going to stand strong in this age that we live in, if we are going to grow in our spiritual maturity and to reach full age, then we're going to have need of this assembling of ourselves together. And so much more as we see the wicked days approaching. Praise the Lord for the opportunity that God gives us to grow spiritually. So the question as we close this morning, are you growing in your walk with the Lord? Are you seeing changes? Spiritual growth, continue. Been pastoring for some 30 years, 29 years. Been in the ministry for 34 years, I guess. And I still have need to grow. I've not reached that full maturity. And the truth of it is, we'll never reach that full maturity. Paul says, not that I've obtained. Man, there's so much more for me to receive. There's so much more for me to obtain. Aaron might have reached his full physical growth. Amen. We'll never reach our full spiritual growth. There's always something more to learn. But if we're not doing what we have need to do to grow, we'll never reach that. And you'll never reach the place where you can experience the full blessing of God. Spiritual life begins there. God's Word. Got to have the food source. For spiritual growth, the food source is the Word of God and the church to help us with our communications, to let God continue to fill us, let God continue to work, to mature us to the place of perfection, full maturity. Where are you at this morning? Are you growing in your walk with the Lord? There's no doubt it's God's will that every believer is to continue to grow. Because with that growth comes a greater potential of living the victorious Christian life. Dealing with whatever battles that we fight and being equipped to get the victory. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The perfecting of the saints. God's will for every believer. Full development. Growth into maturity of Christ's likeness. Never stop. Never stop growing. Always look to obtain more and more of what God has for us. Are you growing in your spiritual life? This morning, I don't know how God might have spoke to you through this message, through this lesson that we brought. If you're not growing, there's a reason for that. Make sure that you have spiritual life. Make sure that you know beyond the shadow of doubt that you have received Jesus Christ, that you know that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to the food source. Read your Bible. Understand the need for communication with God, speaking to God, let God speak to you, prayer, and being under the preaching and the teaching of the Word. This morning, if you have need, to come to this altar. An invitation time is an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. Whatever it might be, let's make sure that we are growing as God would have us to grow. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you would speak to us now in this invitation time. I pray that your spirit would bear witness with the spirits of each and every one of us here today and helping us to see maybe decisions that need to be made, things that need to be changed in order to continue to grow in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bless in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.